When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, LFG! Yep, it is a Victory Monday, but which organization am I talking about?
That's great.
Which organization am I talking about? You tell me, because I went to multiple public establishments today.
Me too.
I'm not kidding. People are celebrating. Celebrating openly. I'm a guy in the grocery store, the employees throwing their hands up in the air, waving them like they just don't care. Because to fans, I know for a lot of you, it feels like ding dong, the witch is dead. And I did. I went and saw Wicked last week. So
nice.
Yeah. So look, we get it. It is a Victory Monday. There will be some Niner stuff. Hunter Pence is going to join us in 20 minutes. But I don't know, Dibs. To me, it's kind of like what we just said on the crossover. Two things can be true at the exact same time. One, this is very much about PR. Two, it's absolutely the move to make. And part of sports is the fan base. Doesn't mean you do what they tell you to do, but my gosh, their businesses have to think of their customers,
right?
And we ended up clearly at a spot where change was necessary. The fans were calling for it. There has to be a different feeling around this organization, and there's absolutely nobody better to bring that than Buster Posey, probably the greatest San Francisco giant has ever been. I know people will say Barry Bonds, but I'm talking
to Willie Mac. Yeah.
Wins and losses.
Sure.
Yeah.
When you want to talk about the Rushmore, it's Mays, McCovey, Bonds, and Posey for me. And you can throw in other pitchers if you're so interested or so inclined. But I think that Buster belongs on that Rushmore. And I think about an Italian restaurant that used to serve a great calzone, and then they decide, after some time, no more calzones. We're just going to go with pizza and pasta, and the fans, they want that calzone so bad. And after 6 years of mediocre Italian food, and I'm looking at the record under Farhan, 455 and 417, inflated by the 107, but you are what your record says you are. And then you announce, hey, you know what? The calzone's coming back, and fans cannot wait to get back there.
Yep. And so that becomes the question for all of you. And with Hunter Pence on in 15 minutes, we encourage you to call in right out of the gate and simply respond to this. Does this bring you back? 888-957-9570. Are you back? I know for some of you might be like, I never left. But you kind of did. Even those of us who have basked in the sunshine of Oracle Park, it was a great summer weather-wise. It still is. Hell, it's 80 degrees out there again today. But you can bask in the glow of Oracle Park, and you're still not really there. It's kind of like when your kids are talking to you, but you're staring at your phone. That's the comp that I would give Giants fans for the last couple of years. You might have gone. You might have turned the TV on in the background. At no point were you on the edge of your seat. At no point were you really feeling connected. That's the word they tried to use, remember, last offseason, connectivity. Yep, didn't swing and a miss again. And so that's what I'm wondering. Does this bring you back? Does this put you back on the edge of your Giants seat. 888-957-9570. And I want to put out a second invitation, if it's okay, Dibs.
Please.
I really do.
Yep.
I want to wear this one because I deserve it, okay? They're
You've
really,
done this before. You don't know, need to do this,
no,
Mark.
No, no, no. It's not that. And I appreciate you saying that. My point is I want to extend that invitation directly to the callers. I have very much. I thought this regime would go differently than it did.
Yeah.
I really did. And so I have been until, I don't know when it was.
At some July.
Point, yeah, toward the beginning of this year. Yeah. Until then, I have been very, very supportive of Farhan Zaidi. I think he's a smart guy. I think he's a good guy. I think his intentions were all there. I think at times there were a couple of things that weren't right in terms of the way he handled players and also the way that the regime as a whole communicated with the fan base. I think those things could have been buttoned up. But anybody who's interacted with me on Twitter, on the radio, anything over the last 5-6 years with regard to Farhan Zaidi, if you want to get that off of your chest, I'm right here, and I'll accept that and wear that because I was absolutely wrong about the way that that this one would go. And even until its final season, I remember opening day this year. I was excited. They spent a bunch of money. They had people who could hit the ball over the fence. I thought it would go a different way. It did not. This is absolutely the right thing to do today.
Yeah. And if you look at just the last 3 years, they were 240 and 246 over the course of three seasons. And the attendance this year was the highest of the 3 years, 32,688. But if you transpose that against the last year of playoff baseball where they drew 41.5, they're down 9,000 fans a game. And this is now post-pandemic, so you can't look at that anymore as a reason for them not yet coming back. You are down 20% in attendance, and you've become a mediocre 500 club, even though this year you spent more than $200 million on your payroll.
Yep.
It still wasn't good enough to have a winning product or a product that really drew the fans. And so, yeah, today's a day where the change is dramatic, and I'm thinking about my father-in-law who texted me earlier today, and he said,
"What do you say?"
He's down on Farhan, and he has been for years.
Of course.
The head of the snake is now dead. Long live the new king. Buster to the rescue? Question mark. And I think that in three sentences is really kind of where we are, because whatever, head of the snake is a little bit dramatic, but he's been down on Farhan for a long time. Long live the new king. Buster to the rescue? Question mark. That, I think, is something that we can get into as the winter and the spring unfolds, because can Buster really come to the rescue? What does that mean?
That's interesting, because I don't even know if I view it that way of like Buster to the rescue. It's more just like Buster kill the anxiety. Like that's the way, and that almost sounded like I was saying Buster killed Zaidi. No,
that was close.
Buster killed the anxiety.
Ah, yeah.
You know, just like that's all this is. I think we just need everybody needs a calming force, and that's what Buster is. Buster Posey is a smart guy. He's a leader. He was a catcher. He's a Giant great. The whole organization right now, all of its like front-facing jobs are being held by former Giants. Buster Posey, president of baseball operations. Bob Melvin's the manager. Matt Williams is over at third base. Pat Burrell's the hitting coach. Like, you can see what they're doing. And your dad-in-law's right. I don't know long-term if it'll work. I used to make fun of the Los Angeles Lakers for doing this every single time they needed a head coach. They'd trot the 1985 team picture out and have a press conference. And everyone's like,
throw a dart at it.
Yay, we love Byron Scott.
Magic.
Didn't work. So I don't know exactly how it's going to go, but it's a calming force. I don't think he's going to be running every single daily operation the way Farhan did. I think he's going to hire a staff. He's going to come in and do the big stuff. Everybody trusts him. They should. He knows what he's doing. And I think it's going to get everybody back on board for as long as it goes okay.
Right, and it ultimately is dependent on who he hires to help him, because he's not going to do it alone. And I wonder about Pete Petilla, who was a Farhan guy, if he remains the GM and nobody even knows that he's the GM because Farhan was the czar of everything. So for me, it's if you want to talk about the baseball side of it, there are so many questions to ask about scouting, minor league development, GM, and the rest of it. But for me, just today, the big 30,000-foot view of it, optics-wise, this is incredible.
Oh, gosh.
Because you took somebody who is becoming decreasingly unpopular and a guy who hasn't been popular for a long time, and now he's gotten to a spot where many people wanted him out, and now you replace him with one of the most beloved figures in Giants history.
You're talking about optics?
Optics.
This feels like a grand slam off of Matt Latos.
Right.
That's what it feels like. Let's go to Diego in Oakland. 888-957-9570. Does this bring you back? Hey, Diego, thanks for calling.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
What's up?
Well, you know, I'm personally happy right now, but feel like this was a little bit more like a late, better late than never type of decision. You know, feel like he should have left with Kapler. You know, we got rid of Kapler, brought in Melvin. Just feels like Farhan has been intruding since then. But as far as coming back, you know, I never left. But I'm ready for Giants baseball to be exciting again, for sure.
I heard for this. Giants. Yeah, Diego, thanks. I heard this from a lot of people today. The season has been over for 24 hours. And I heard a lot of people be like, I'm so excited for next season already.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's interesting what Diego said, because the reports are at the end of last year where they were going to move off of Gabe Kapler, and they did before the end of the year. And Farhan Zaidi reportedly went to ownership and said, I got a plan. Here's my plan. I can do it. Let me try it. And they said, all right, we'll let you try it. And they let him try it, and it kind of worked, but it really didn't, because ultimately you are what your record says. But he said, let me have a year to bring up the young guys, and this thing will turn around. And I do think that the things that he said that he would do, he did, and it mostly worked. But ultimately, when you're 80 and 82, it didn't work.
Let me throw a scenario at you that I don't know is true.
Okay.
But when they held on to Farhan for one more year, what if it was because Buster didn't feel ready yet?
No, it's possible.
But they already knew that that's what they were going to do.
Even, I mean, I guess the caveat would be if they go 93-69,
sure.
And they, you know, they're a wild card team, then, you know.
It's kind of like Kyle Shanahan says all the time when someone gets hurt. It's like, you have to have a contingency plan. That's what we go through all the time. So I'm sure there were contingencies, but it took me about 15 minutes after this announcement to go, God, the second that he moved his family of six from Georgia, where he grew up, to the Bay Area, to Lafayette, the second he did that 2 years ago, we should have known that it was for more than just a piece of the Giants pie. You know what I mean? Where does Charles Johnson live? Exactly. None of us even know. You don't need to live here to be a part of the ownership group. We should have known that Buster was destined for a day-to-day role and a very, very front-facing one as well.
Yeah, but I guess when we think about Buster Posey as a player, and we've all known Buster forever, I never thought anyway, I can't speak for you and the fan base, but I never thought that he wanted to be a part of this. I thought that he would, and Steiny said this earlier, he'd retire. And his retirement presser, it's like, I'm going to Georgia. All right, Buster, we're going to never hear from you again.
I thought we'd never see him again.
Not quite Tim Lincecum, never hear from you again, because he could live in Nova Scotia. We have no idea. He's in full recluse mode. But I thought Buster was going to go back to Georgia, raise the kids. He and Kristen, do your thing, and we would never hear from him again.
Agreed. But that's why I look at it this way. When he moved back, when he moved to Lafayette, I'm like, oh. That had to mean that that there were big plans in the works, and it was just a matter of how much he could take on and when was he ready. Real quick, let's do Carlos in Berkeley. Hey, Carlos, thanks for calling. Hunter Pence in 5 minutes, everybody. Go ahead, Carlos.
Oh, geez, I get to lead in the Hunter Pence.
You sure hey, do, guys, so you better be awesome.
I'm going to be quick. First of all, I'm going to get to say it. First time to call our long-time listener. I didn't get that right. Sorry.
Thank you. That's all right. We got you.
I was a big fan of both of you on the other station. I will tell you this, and this is good for you guys to keep on I followed you guys over. This is I'm on this station because of you two. So you guys are awesome. Listen, Rahane going. Zaidi's got to be gone. We all knew it for a long time. But the biggest news is what you just talked about. The energy that we all have because of Posey. That is trust, man. That's trust. We believe. And it may take more than a year or two to get everything going. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to believe it. We're going to go, you know what? This guy's got our back. Okay, now the conspiracy. Was Zaidi brought in from the Dodgers to mess us up? I want you to think about it.
No.
Think about it. Something for you for a later story.
Carlos, thank you very much. Thank you for the kind words. I've always laughed at this idea that that Farhan was an agent of the Dodgers. He worked for the A's before the Dodgers.
Right.
Why would Farhan crater his career that way? So no, I don't buy that conspiracy theory, but I will be open to the idea that Buster has been in the plans for this job for longer than the last 2 months. That I buy.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, he did come back here. I don't think he came back here just to live in the Bay Area. Yeah. He came back here with a purpose.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. And we got a pretty big guest coming up next on a big day for the Giants. Hunter Pence joins us next on Willard and Dip.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Potential MVP of the regular season and the comeback player of the year.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, I mean, you know, you hear Joe Buck there say Buster Posey in this town. This is what's so exciting about this. You don't even need to use his last name. He's one of those, like, Madonna-type people.
Right?
Buster. Yeah. They made a change. They hired Buster. That's it. That's all a Giants fan needs to know. And I would imagine Giants fans would love hearing from another favorite today here on Willard and Dibs. And that's why right here on the River Islands guest line, we're bringing on Hunter Pence. Hey, Hunter, what's going on?
Oh, my God. You make a great point. And it is an exciting time. I got chills right now. I like MVP caliber, 3-time World Series champion player taking on this task. And I mean, what does that tell the city, the organization, how much he cares and he wants to see a certain standard, and it's exciting.
I mean, as someone who was a teammate, and you both took leadership roles, but different styles, like how would you describe what Buster has as a leader that you think will work in this role?
I mean, obviously he has a lot of poise. He has he's brilliant. He's respected. And, you know, just everything he does is methodical. Everything he does makes a lot of sense. And, you know, he's just so, so brilliant and extremely witty. But at the end of the day, you know, it's a gamer term, but he's five-head. He sees up many angles. And like, having that as your catcher and then having that as your GM, the catcher has to, you know, be able to juggle so many things, like what does the pitcher have that day? What is the batter strong at? What's he doing right now? Has he moved in the box? Also, I got to hide the signs from the base runners. And he did all of it, like, effortlessly and gracefully. And he is also, like, leading in the clubhouse, like, every single person. He kind of sees what's going on and has a way of, like, pushing the right buttons. I mean, for me, and I'm rambling here a little bit and just giving you a Twitter version of so many amazing things I saw from him. There was no coincidence in the 3 World Series championships when he arrived. And there's no better baseball mind. I think that this is just a glorious day as a Giants fan.
How much does his gravitas and his reputation around the league matter when it comes to wooing free agents?
I think it does matter. I think it matters a lot, to be honest. And, I think players that are free agents and players around the league are now kind of, you know, and you got to believe that there's going to be a system that kind of makes baseball player sense. And there's a difference between, and not to like say anything bad, because I think, you know, Farhan is brilliant and amazing, but like, it doesn't really jive that much. A lot of the things that are asked and the moves that are made, there's kind of a, you know, when you're in the thick of things and how things are run, that like, you know, you watch kind of the way the Braves go about business. You watch the way, you know, some teams that have been doing great, successful things for a long time. And, there's a human element involved, and there's a certain, standard. And I think that that's going to be expected on the Giants now versus like, you know, always. There's matchups, and matchups matter, but there's everyday players. There's certain things, and Farhan was listening and moving to that, but I think players want to play for that. Players want a chance to pitch more than four innings. They want to show that they can win a game, throw a no-hitter, do something spectacular. They want to play every day, and I think just getting that opportunity and having a system that wants you to go and be as great as you can be. And once again, I just think that Buster has a certain standard that players are going to want to play for 100%.
Hunter Pence with us on Willard and Dibs. And yeah, Hunter, I think we gather what you're saying, and nobody wants to kick Farhan in the butt as he's on his way out the door, but I want to make sure I'm hearing you correctly. How do you think players dealt with the idea of, well, you're brought here to be an everyday, now you're platooning, or the up-down to Sacramento that seemed to be something that was constant during this last 6 years of baseball? Is it fair to say players did not really jive with that?
Yeah, I think it's easy to say that. And you just gotta like put yourself in a player's shoes, right? Like, you're a teammate and you're sending, it's a revolving door. Like, every time someone got sent down, it is like a massive life change, and it's a massive change to everyone in the clubhouse. Like, we feel the pain, and obviously, yeah, someone's coming. But, like, you know, there's just certain things that you just don't do. Like, and like, you can't really get a rhythm or a culture or a purpose because, you know, and even just biting into that you can't play versus righties, you can't play versus lefties, and all of that is, like, it's like a message that we're not good enough, and a message, you know, like, I, like even, like, for instance, and nothing against that, because mathematically, like, if we were all robots, it should work, but we are humans with emotions, and we strive with, like, purpose lifts us up, and you know, there's a lot more intangibles throughout your numbers going on with, like maybe one day you go 0-for-4, and you know, and this was off right, but you figured out how they were getting you out, and you come back the next day with a little bit of knowledge that you can use as an intelligent player against them, and be like, oh, they got me like this. I'm gonna be ready for that. Prepare the next day, and then boom. But now you're benched because it's, you know, not the right matchup or whatever. So, but at the same time, it's more the family element of, like, you lose a little purpose, you lose a little spirit when you're doing this revolving door. You're trying to, you know, catch every little deal. And I don't know how Buster's going to GM, by the way. But I know that there's a certain thing that he understands with regards to, you know, the Sabian and how he handled things with. There was a long integrity. You earned it. It was hard to earn. It was hard to lose. But when you lost it, you lost it. And when you got it, you got it. And you had to really earn your way out of the lineup, earn your way in the lineup, and kind of. But you can build a culture. You can build a family. And players want to play for that. And fans want to root for that. Like, a lot of times. And by the way, as a player, you want to do what's best for the team, whatever it takes to win. But for the business side of a player, you're biting a huge bullet to do that for the team. And like, when you treat the player like he matters to you, that it's not just the numbers that he puts on paper, you're sending a message that makes them walk a little prouder, walk a little taller, that in giving him that opportunity, you earned it. You go and you pitch five innings and you win a huge game. And yeah, we need an arm, but you've earned the right to still be here. We're not going to just send you down and bring you back up and fly you all. You know, it's just like these things. It's tough to swallow a lot of times because we are humans, and like, give that guy a chance, let him sit here, let him come and pitch again for you. And everyone kind of just starts walking a little different. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but it's a very tough thing to swallow when you send a player down every single time. Yeah. And you're doing it constantly.
It makes perfect sense, Hunter. And that's, I guess, my follow-up question is it too simplistic to say that that is why the Farhan way, for lack of a better way to describe it, didn't work? Because it was too much about the matchups and the math and not enough about the humanity?
I mean, I don't want to just... I do think that I don't want to just say that why it didn't work for Farhan, because I think he's extremely smart. I personally think that that's a very challenging thing for players to manage. It would be hard as a leader on a team run like that to get buy-in.
Yep. Yep. Okay. And so what about this? If you're Buster Posey and you've been watching all of this, What did you kind of learn from the last 6 years that will help you in where the Giants go next?
Well, I do think if you were in the playoffs right now, the way we were playing this last month, and by the way, I think let me just say, to start here, because there's a lot. I feel like I've gone a little bit harder on Farhan than I wanted to for this, but I am excited. I do think players are going to want to come here because, once again, I think Farhan made great deals. He worked amazing, and I know he's going to continue to succeed in baseball and learn valuable lessons. I think this year it was easy to say that he put a team that we expected to make the postseason. Like everyone, it was easy to believe that, and the fact that we didn't was a bit of a head-scratcher. And it just didn't click this year for whatever reason. But at the same time, if we were in the playoffs right now, I would still believe we could win the World Series because we are playing our best baseball this last month. And we went through teams that needed wins, playoff teams, and just dismantled them. Like the Diamondbacks might not get in the playoffs because of how we played in that series. And some of these rookies are showing we had a lot of young players step up that did massive things. But just imagine if we were able to get Snell a little bit sooner and we saw that for the entire season. And just the confidence when he takes the mound and how dominant he was. And it just kind of lifts everyone up. There's a little bit of a momentum, whereas he was playing on the back foot, and we were playing kind of on the back foot the whole year. But if we made the playoffs right now, how confident would you be?
Pretty confident. I mean, when you've got a rotation like that, more confident than I would have been 3 weeks ago.
Anybody's got a puncher's chance, but you know, Hunter, how people feel about this roster versus the glitz and the glamour of the lineups that are thrown at you by some of these other teams in the National League, and namely the Dodgers in the division.
I mean, I would feel great having the way Blake Snell was pitching, going game one versus anybody. And like the Dodgers have a great lineup, but do you think they're gonna definitely win the World Series? I mean, they got a pitch, right? Like
sure
they can't match our pitching. We went to Baltimore and destroyed them. We went to Kansas City and swept them when they needed wins. We just took out the Diamondbacks, who were on absolute fire. And by the way, once there's a couple little adjustments with Hayden Birdsong, and this dude is going to be Tim Lincecum energy. Like, he just struck out 11 on 4 1/3 in the last game, and he did it with, like, you see the swagger, and this kid's 21 years old. Like, look out. There is a lot of talent. The way we were playing, Landon Roop even was having great starts. But you're telling me Logan Webb, Blake Snell 1 and 2, they can get you through a series right now. And I mean, Matt Chapman is swinging the bat. They made some major, if you ask me, and I would like to hear from him because I see it. Incredible swing adjustments, and he is just a tank. And for me, I think that right now, the last 2 weeks, maybe the month is too long. Last 2 weeks, we were ready for playoff baseball. We just unfortunately faltered early on and had a lot of setbacks.
Yeah, couldn't quite get over the line over the last couple of weeks, much better. So if you're sitting in Buster's seat and you look at what you have, and you mentioned Chapman, he's a tank, and you got some young pieces and a good couple of young arms in the rotation, what do you look at as the number one job or the first thing that you need to improve to get this team to where you think they could be?
You know, well, we definitely have, honestly, it is a core that you can see that a window is near. And It is like it's about that time, and with some of these young pitchers, it's going to be interesting to see like how many of them actually improve. How many of them, you know, like that's going to really matter. But if we lose Blake Snell, and, you know, most likely that might happen, how do we get better? Because he's as good as it gets, like absolutely dominant. The last three starts that I saw from him it could have been a no-hitter every night if circumstances went well. And it was just like, if he's commanding the strike, it doesn't matter how good you were out. Like, Bobby Witt maybe had the only hard-hit ball I saw off of him in three starts. So that was ridiculous. So, I mean, you're going to need to get another Blake Snell-type arm. I think, you know, the lefty for the Braves is out there. I believe Corbin Burns is that caliber. So obviously you're going to need a starting arm. We're going to be counting on Robbie Ray, and Robbie Ray is an absolute beast, and having him healthy for a full year, letting him, you know, it takes that surgery a little time to kind of get going. And I think that we're going to have some special stuff from him. So we have a core, and remember, Ramos just made as a rookie the All-Star team. He has a great approach. He's really strong, really fast. Tyler Fitzgerald could, you know, maybe a second base option, because we expected Tyro to have a better year than he had. I don't know what happened there, but that was definitely an Achilles strike. So shore that up a bit. And Jung-Hoo Lee coming back is going to be big. So there really is a big window, and it's some micro adjustments. It'll be interesting to see what he does. I have no idea his thoughts, but I do know that he's going to want more everyday players, and that's why I think it was really important for him to sign Matt Chapman right off the bat.
Hunter Pence with us on Willard and Dibs. Even though I sort of get the same vibe as you do, I'd love for you to expand on why you think it seemingly is unlikely that Blake Snell will be back.
Well, actually, I don't know now. And now I hope he comes back. I mean, it's pretty much going to be anyone's ball game, right? Like, he earned it, and you know, we'll see where he wants to go and how he wants to do it. But if you're asking me, I would love to have him. But, you know, and you've already heard how highly I talked about him and what I think he's capable of. I think when you have a Blake Snell, you have to have that caliber. It's the blue chip arm, right? But he's probably the best of the best when healthy. Like, he was a Cy Young winner last year. He had, and not having a spring training and trying to rush and trying to force it, we really didn't give him an opportunity to succeed. And he had a couple injuries, didn't have the mechanics right. And when it came together, and this is probably what you're going to get for the next 3 to 6 years from him, is probably the best arm we're going to see in the next 3 years. He's probably going to be the best arm we see. And he's just that good. So there's a couple guys out there that are on that echelon, but probably not to his talent. Like, the talent is just insane. And it's just, I don't care how good your arm is, better. And the only thing is he's really just battling himself. Can he throw strikes?
And is that, Hunter, the way that you would look at it as far as how you build this team back into a winner? Because I think about your team in 2014 and 10-12-14. It was pitching and defense, and the ballpark we know is not very slugger-friendly. Is that the way that the Giants need to go in terms of how they get this team to be better?
I mean, that's what I would go with. That's what I believe in it to my core. There was definitely way better superstars. I mean, we in 2012, obviously Buster was the MVP, and we had some, you know, some star power. Pablo did what he did, but it was Prince Fielder and Miguel Cabrera. Well, I think Miguel Cabrera won the Triple Crown or something that year, and they were great. So we were never the best offense, but we put the ball in play. We played extremely good defense. We were gritty. We all loved to be out there. We also, you know, we had our confrontations within us, but it was all confrontations for competitiveness, for bringing out the best in each other. And those things are one thing. You know, you talk about good chemistry, and the military is where you probably want to study this. They'll talk about you have to be able to confront your comrades. And these are things that I think are healthy. I think this is one of the reasons they love, you know, the Chapman leadership vibe. And so it's okay to have a little friction. It actually it raises you up. And so I would look for that. I would look for some feisty, some stubborn players, some crazy players. That, you know, it's a little bit of a risk to be out there. So I know Buster's going to probably have a better idea of all of this than me. But I think that pitching and defense is definitely a blueprint, and everyone says, oh, we need the star player. The stars will come when you're winning ball games, and you win ball games through pitching and defense, but you do have to score. But you have Chapman, you have Ramos, you have Jung-Hoo Lee, maybe one more bat, a second baseman, I think particularly they're going to target, and we'll see.
Hunter, what do you think Buster's first order of business is?
You gotta have to ask him. I haven't had a conversation with
what,
him.
Like what? If it were you, if it were you, what if he asked you?
Now, I mean, first order of business is there's a lot. It's not just like one bullet point, but I think first order of business is set a standard, set a culture, get those things in order, like a clearly defined purpose. Get on the same page with Bob Melvin so that we're getting players that he believes in, players in a style that he wants, but also a style that you both want. Like, it's basically your style, but with Bob Melvin's input, so that we're working in harmony. But I think it's a clear standard that needs to be set, clear accountability that needs to be set, that like winning is what matters. I'm going to be around. I'm going to push you. There's going to be pressure to win. And I think that's number one, is like you have to define who you are before you can do anything.
And if asked, would you serve on the Buster Posey front office cabinet?
I mean, I would love to be a part of it. I really, really genuinely love this organization. I love the city. And so I would definitely be on Buster's advisory board or wherever I can help, you know. And I'm enjoying the broadcasting, and honestly, Farhan would listen to me. He would listen to me, so he would hear me out, and that was great. And so hopefully I can, you know, be on the same page and do what I can to help this organization any way possible. I am a fan. It hurts when we don't make the playoffs, and I genuinely do believe in this team. And honestly, like I said, this year was a bit of a head scratcher because I thought we had a team to do it. And I really do believe in this staff as well, Pat Burrell, Matt Williams, and Hallberg, and the whole crew. It's a really great crew.
Hunter, I know you are actually a great baseball mind, but I've got you maybe for director of spirit. How do you feel about that role?
I mean, yeah, no, I think that stuff matters. I obviously believe in, you know, the bringing energy every day. Like, enthusiasm is something that, if you're playing in even if you're in a front office and there's no enthusiasm, if you're in a business and there's no, people are what make businesses work. The business doesn't just work on its own. And people with enthusiasm, people with charge, people with positive mental attitude, with overcoming, with persistence and consistency, and with constant fight, because negativity surrounds everyone in every industry. And so that's easy to fall into. But yeah, I do appreciate that. But anything that I'm going to come for and I really care about, I'm going to come forth full-heartedly, and I'm going to go down in a blaze of glory with everything I got, no matter what.
We know that about you, Hunter. Thank you so much for your perspective today.
Thank you.
Great to have you, man.
Yeah. Wonderful talking with you. And before you get me off, if we have a moment,
yeah,
what would be your first order of business?
Ooh, that's a very, very good question. The first order...
I mean, you asked it to me. It was a good question. I want to hear.
Tell him about his fair play.
I want to hear.
Tell him, Hunter.
First order of business to me is going to be, it's along the lines of what you're saying. I think that Buster needs to set a standard of in that clubhouse of making sure those players know that their voices are probably about to be heard in a different way. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
Is that a cop-out of an answer? But that's what I would do.
I think it's a good point. I think it's a good point. It's like we need to get the direction going. We need to get the message out of who are we, and how we go about our business in the black and orange. And it matters. It matters to define that.
Hunter, thanks, man. Really appreciate
it. Thank you.
Okay.
Take care.
Yep, you too. Hunter Pence right here on Willard and Dibs. I know that those are, like, people want to be like, sign Juan Soto.
Right.
Like you know, some sort of a headline grabber.
Well, and that's not the first order business. It'd be cool if they did that, but he's busy now.
He's busy, not eligible, but yeah, like I don't want to make that sound like I'm thinking like the players are going to run the show by any stretch, but I do think this is important for people to understand. I firmly believe that the players were not constantly, but off and on over the last 6 years, I think it wore them out emotionally to be told that you can't hit against lefties, or that you're heading to Sacramento, or remember when the Hayden Birdsong thing happened and the kid fans 12 at Coors Field and finds himself in the San Jose clubhouse the next morning, even though there was a good reason.
Right.
I'm sorry. Like, to me, that's not a good reason. So too much of that. And I think that those players need to hear that directly from someone who's been in their shoes in this case.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's the guy. Buster Posey's been in their shoes in this case. And I imagine he faced a lot of righties in his day.
Yeah, a couple of them.
Yeah.
Latos was a righty. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. All right, it's your turn. Dave Fleming's going to join us at 4:15. But coming up next, 888-957-9570. Farhan's out. Buster is in. Does that bring you back? We're taking your calls. Are you back? 888-957-9570, Willard and Dibs.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.